Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. And coming up, we're continuing to learn who Melchizedek is. We're in chapter 14 as we conclude a message called Abram, Melchizedek, and Christ as we go back to basics.
You know, John the Baptist he's the greatest of the prophets. He's the one who's sent ahead of the Messiah to pronounce his coming. But we find John at a certain point questioning everything, doubting everything, wondering if any of this stuff was actually true. And when he's in prison, what does he do? He grabs a few of his men and he says, go ask Jesus this question. Are you the coming one or do we look for another? How could John the Baptist come to that point? Well, he was human. He was human, and things were not moving along the way he thought that they would move along, and the plan wasn't unfolding the way that he thought the plan would unfold. And like anybody else, he started to have second thoughts. He started to wonder, did I really hear God? Is this really the Messiah? Did I make a mistake? And so I think that with Abram, we have this confirmation now from another source, a man that is recognized as the priest of God Most High. He comes and he confirms, as he pronounces this blessing upon Abram, he confirms all that God has said to Abram within the privacy of his own communion with the Lord. Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram responds back to Melchizedek by presenting him with a tithe of all of his assets. Now, those are the things that I think were going on as the event actually transpired. But as we move further, and of course we're on the other side of the fulfillment of all of these events, we know the end of the story. As we come to the New Testament period, we come to the Epistle to the Hebrews, and it might be good to just turn over to the 7th chapter of Hebrews. And think about this now. Again, there's a 1,000-year period between David and Christ. So for 1,000 years, there's been no conversation, mentioning, talk of Melchizedek. And here the author of this epistle sits down to write a word to these Jewish believers who are struggling, to write a word under the inspiration of the Spirit. And as he's writing, he's speaking to them about the high priesthood of Jesus Christ and the superiority of Jesus as high priest over Aaron and the whole Levitical order of priest. And then suddenly he introduces this man, Melchizedek. It's a fascinating thing. in the fifth chapter, the fifth verse, he said, "So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.'" And then over in verse 9, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." And then over into the sixth chapter, he comes once again, verse 20, "Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." And now in the seventh chapter, he goes on to expound more thoroughly on this man, Melchizedek. He says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace." So the author of this epistle tells us something about this man that we would not necessarily know. His name, Melchizedek, meant king of righteousness. But he's the king of Salem, which, of course, Salem means peace. And then he says concerning him, "He is without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually." So suddenly the veil is removed, and this mysterious person back there at the time of Abraham is suddenly being revealed as a person who was a type of Christ. He was a type of Christ. Now, some have actually thought that this could be what you would call a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Christ, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And that might be the case. It doesn't seem to me that that's the case. It does seem to me that Melchizedek was an actual man. He was the king of the city of Salem. But he was certainly, as we're told here, he was a type of Christ. So as we look at him, there are certain things about him that foreshadowed the person and the ministry of the Messiah. And so as we look at him, it says here regarding him, it says some interesting things. It says that he was without father and mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. And again, there's two possibilities. One is that that was actually the case and he was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Or the other is that there was simply no record of his ancestry. That all of that information was kept hidden. It was not revealed in the historical account. So we have no information about his ancestry. We have no information about his birth. We have no information about his death. But all of this was intentional, that he might be made like the Son of God and remain a priest continually. So Melchizedek is a type of Christ in that, like Melchizedek, Christ is to remain a priest forever. And you see, this is the argument that the author of this epistle to the Hebrews is now making. As you study this epistle, as we have studied it together, you remember that one of the purposes of the epistle is to show the supremacy of Christ over everything that came before him. So he's shown to be superior to Moses. He's shown to be, well, back further, he's shown to be superior to the angels. He's shown to be superior to Moses. He's shown to be superior to Joshua. He's shown to be superior to Aaron and to the priesthood. And one of the aspects of his superiority is his priesthood is a continual priesthood. And this is one of the arguments that the author makes. One of the weaknesses of the Levitical priesthood was that the priests could not continue to minister because they would die. And so Jesus has a superior priesthood because it's a perpetual priesthood. It's a priesthood that goes on and on and on forever. It's a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Now, you might find this interesting. Back in Genesis 14, this is the first mention of a priest in the Bible. So we've gone through a long period of history, you know, probably a couple of thousand years of human history. We have gone through that in the first 13 chapters of Genesis without any mention of a priest or a priesthood. And so this is the first mentioning of a priest or a priesthood, and it is this man, Melchizedek. Now, a priest was responsible for basically three things. Number one, to offer a sacrifice. Number two, to intercede for the people. And number three, to act as a mediator, as someone who would bridge the gap between a sinful people and a holy God. And as we look at Jesus as our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, that is exactly what we see him doing. And this epistle to the Hebrews goes into great detail about his role as the high priest. It tells us that he offered one sacrifice for sin forever. See, the priest under the Levitical order, they had to continue to offer sacrifices because the sacrifices they offered could never ultimately do away with sin. They could only temporarily cover sin. But this man, Jesus Christ, he comes and he offers one sacrifice for sin forever. So as a priest, he offers a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of himself. As a priest, he intercedes on our behalf. And again, we are told right here in this epistle to the Hebrews that he ever lives to make intercession for us. One of the virtues of having an endless life is that he can continually intercede for us. And so we're told that he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. Isn't that an amazing thing? Not only did Christ offer that one sacrifice for sin forever to cleanse us and to secure us before God, but right this moment and all the way through, he is making intercession for us. To me, that is one of the most wonderful spiritual truths there is. I love it when people will tell me they're praying for me. I am so appreciative of that. I'm so thankful. But when I think of Jesus Christ praying for me, boy, that is just, that's fantastic. Because I know that Jesus, when he prays for me, he's always going to pray for the right thing. He's always going to be praying for me according to the perfect will of God. And I also know that the Father is always listening to his prayer. But this is one of the wonderful aspects of this priesthood that Christ is perpetually in now, is his ongoing intercession for us. And so, again, as it says, he's able to save to the uttermost. There's no lack. There's no area where he is not able to help us to empower us. He's able to save us to the uttermost, those of us who come to God through him. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And then as a priest, he is the mediator. He mediates for us. He goes between us. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And we're told again in Hebrews that he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So you see, Melchizedek, significant for Abram, of course. I don't know that Abram understood what we understand about Melchizedek today, but for Abram, it was that confirmation and that blessing that was pronounced upon him by this man who was God's servant. That was what he received out of his encounter with Melchizedek. We have an encounter with the one who Melchizedek was merely a type of, the one who is ever living to make intercession, the one who has offered that one sacrifice for sin forever, the one who is currently mediating for us. And in the fourth chapter of this epistle to the Hebrews, we have some of the most comforting, the most encouraging words ever written in regard to the ministry of our high priest. Let's look at them. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Listen, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted or tested or tried as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Aren't those glorious words? We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, or I like the way the King James puts it. We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. You know, when we are suffering, when we're struggling, when we're afflicted, when we're going through difficult and challenging times, you know, oftentimes someone will come to us well-meaning, well-intended, and they'll come and they'll say something that they think is going to be encouraging to us. And, you know, we might thank them politely, but in our minds we think, you know, these guys don't know what they're talking about, because they're not in my shoes. They're not going through what I went through. Somebody was telling me recently about a conversation they were having with a person who had lost a child, and they were trying to console them, and they told them about how they almost lost their child. And, you know, in the end, he said it was probably the worst thing I could have said, because the person responded back and said, well, so you still have your child with you, right? You're still going to see your child when you get home, right? Well, I'm not. So, you know, well-intended, well-meaning, wanting to encourage, but just didn't have the capacity to do it because never been through the experience. And a lot of times that's how it is on the human level. But here's the amazing thing. Our high priest, he's not one who can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because he was in all points tempted, tested, tried, just as we are, yet without sin. There's nothing that you could ever go through, nothing that you could ever go through that you could go to God and say, well, God, you just don't understand. Because God does understand. He doesn't understand only because he's God and he's omniscient, but he understands by actual experience. In this fifth chapter of Hebrews, maybe you remember reading the passage where it declares to us that that Jesus, the captain of our salvation, was made perfect through suffering. You might wonder, well, what does it mean, Jesus being made perfect? Why would Jesus was already perfect. Why would he have to be made perfect? Well, he was already perfect, of course, in the moral sense and all spiritually and all of those other ways. But there was a dimension that he had not experienced. He hadn't experienced suffering as God. God couldn't suffer. But God became a man to live amongst us and to share in our experience. And there he was perfected in the sense of now his experience is total. He doesn't just know it from the standpoint of his omniscience. He knows it from the standpoint of his experience. And so this is what is implied in the high priesthood of Christ. That he is there, made his sacrifice, interceding for us, there to mediate. He's the one that we can come to and know that he can sympathize with our weaknesses because he's been in our shoes, so to speak. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And you know, this word boldly means to come with confidence. It means to come holding nothing back. You know, when you go to God, you know what God wants from you? He wants honesty. He wants you to just be free to tell him, you know, tell him how it really is. You ever find yourself trying to sort of fool God? You're praying about all the things that you think you should pray about, but none of the things you really want to pray about. You're saying to God all the things that you think you should say, but not saying any of the things that you really want to say. Well, you might as well say them because he already knows what you actually want to say. And when it says that we come boldly, and this kind of language is used several times over in Scripture, coming boldly, we have access with confidence. It means simply that we can come and we can pour out our hearts. We can tell God how we really feel. And he listens. You know, somebody asks you how you feel and you say, well, do you really want to know? No, I don't really want to know. I don't have time. I trust you're doing well. We'll see you later. But you know, with God, he's got all the time. And you can come and, Lord, do you really want to know how I feel? Sure. Tell me all about it. Coming boldly before the throne of grace, and listen to this, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we get when we go before the throne of grace. We get mercy. And we get grace to help in the time of need. And that's because we have a great high priest. And that's what Melchizedek was foreshadowing. That great high priest who would ever live to make intercession for us. That great high priest that would come and bless us. That's what Melchizedek was a type of, our great high priest, Jesus Christ.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Abram, Melchizedek, and Christ, and the resource number is B0027. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.